watch him amazed in awe of the mystery of his perfect ways. All I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. I can't remember a trial or a pain he did not recycle to bring me gain. I can't remember one single regret in serving God only and trusting his hand. He all I have need of, his hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. This is my anthem, and this is my song, the theme of the stories I've heard for so long. God has been faithful, he will be again. His loving compassion, it knows always been faithful. He's always been faithful to me.
Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Begin reading in verse number 1. Hebrews 12. And if you're able, when you find it, go ahead and stand up for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews 12, beginning verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the wonderful day we've already had in church, Lord. Help us to realize how blessed we are to be in your house, to worship you, Lord. Help us today as we hear the message from your man. Help us to have open hearts to make a decision for your word. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Please be seated if you would. And as you're being seated, find your cell phone, would you please, right quick, and kill it. Turn it off, please. We'd appreciate that very much. Let's listen very carefully. You know, the Christian life is likened to a race in this passage, where it says in Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, it talks about seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Often in the Bible, the Christian life is likened to an athletic contest. In this one in particular, when it talks about the race, it's not talking about a sprint, it's talking about a marathon, 26.2 miles. They had them in the biblical days. It started in the city of Marathon in Greece. As a matter of fact, there was a battle there, and a soldier ran from the battle to report back how it went, and he ran barefoot 26.2 miles. Now, to me personally, running that distance is stupid. That's what God made cars for. Uber, Lyft. Why run 26 miles? Makes no sense to me whatsoever. But you understand, people, listen to me. Living the Christian life evokes the idea of effort. Sometimes the Christian life is likened to a boxing match. Sometimes it's likened to a battlefield. But you live, that's how you live the Christian life. That's not how you become a Christian. It's not your efforts that make you a Christian. It's your faith in Christ for salvation. That makes you a Christian. Then once you trust Christ as your Savior, you get saved. Then you start the Christian life. And in this case, it's likened to a race. In verse number one, it says, seeing we are, and it talks about our looking at things like we should. Seeing we're compassed about a great cloud of witnesses. That's chapter 11. It talks about all those people who died, went to heaven, and they in heaven watch us while we live our lives down here. Not private moments, but while we live. I believe those, if you have loved ones who've gone before you to heaven, I believe the only way they're going to see you in this life is if you're running the race God has set before you. I wonder what they're seeing in your life today. And it tells us we need to see those witnesses. It tells us here in verse number one that we not only need to see the witnesses, but also that we need to realize that there's a weight in sin that slows us down in our race, and that we need to see that we need to run with patience this race, because it's long distance. From the moment you get saved till Jesus comes to get you or you go to see him, you need to stay at this thing of the Christian life. But verse number two is the message this morning. It says, now it says, not seeing, it says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why, hey, listen to me. While you stay patiently, consistently, persistently, staying at the Christian life, it doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't keep you as a Christian. You don't live the Christian life to stay saved. Once you trust Christ, you're saved. You're going to heaven. You have the gift of eternal life. God saves you, secures you, keeps you, seals you in that saved condition. The effort of the Christian life is you producing something and God doing something in your life. So he wants you to see all these things as you run your race. But in verse number two, he tells us to go from looking, seeing, to looking. Then he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Then verse number three says, consider him. So from seeing to looking to considering. But the message this morning is, what does it mean to be looking unto Jesus? Well, the expression looking here in the Bible is more than a glance. It means to stare. Listen to me. It means to stare and fix your stare upon somebody or something. And it means literally, it means to fix your stare and never look away. Looking unto Jesus. Illustration. My sister and her husband had a dog named Jake. Jake was a cross between a Great Dane and a German Shepherd. He had the height of a Great Dane in the frame. He had the weight of a German Shepherd. My brother-in-law is my size. He could lay on the back of that dog and the dog would walk around the house with him on his back. And it was a great dog. Mild-tempered. If you're sitting at the table and you're feeding him scraps, which you're not supposed to do, but everybody does it anyway, you put it out there like that, you think this dog, he would just so gently take it out of your hand. He was so good with kids and everybody else. He hated male men. Hated them. I don't know what was the uniform, the pouch. I don't know what the problem was. But if a male man ever came in the yard, it was on. Jake was going to get him, and he was going to get him good. And because I loved this dog, he hated cats. I mean, he absolutely hated cats. And any little critters, he was just not politically correct with them. We're in the back of a pickup truck out in the mountains doing some hunting. I'm in the back of the truck with Jake. We're driving down this dirt road, not going very fast. And Jake's just sitting there, and he's looking around. All of a sudden, a squirrel jumps from a tree to another tree, and that dog didn't even hesitate. Boop! He bailed out of the back of that truck. There was a berm, a dirt berm they had built up, blading the road, had rocks and everything in it. He hit that with his chest, back legs cranking, but that dog never took his eyes off that squirrel. He was looking unto the squirrel. I watched him. He was clawing at the dirt, plowing at it, and he just looking at that squirrel. He was going to get that squirrel no matter what it took him. See, that's the worst analogy of an illustration of biblical principle I ever heard in my life. I just thought I'd bring it down to your level. Okay. Look and don't take your eyes off of him. Looking unto Jesus. But what does that mean? Okay. In the next verse, it says, consider him. That means to think about something. Here's what looking unto Jesus means for the Christian to run his race. Oh, may I say this too very quickly? That's how you'll stay in the race. Seeing what you should in verse 1 and looking at who you should in verse 2 and thinking about who you ought to in verse number 3. Looking unto Jesus, that means this. Listen, it means you look at what Jesus has been to you. See there in verse number 3, it says, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising in verse 2 means counted it as nothing. Do you know what they did to him, right? They took him, tried him, went him through a series of trials, 6 different trials in less than 24 hours, declared him as innocent at every trial, but then guilty. Then they stripped him naked, beat him like an animal until you couldn't even tell he was a human being anymore. These little paintings of little drips of blood, the Bible says in Isaiah 52, his visage marred more than any man. You couldn't tell he was human when they were done with him. They lined soldiers up in a judgment hall, put a cloth over his face, and great big husky Roman soldiers took turns coming up and punching him in the face and punching him in the face, several of them. Then they beat him some more again. They used a cat of 9 tails, a whip that had long leather thongs on it, about a 4-foot wooden handle. And those thongs were tied pieces of bone and metal and things, and they wrap it around their bodies and put their foot on the backside and rip it back across their flesh. Psalm 22 says Jesus could look down from the cross and count his rib cage because they ripped the flesh off his body. And they took the perfect Son of God and they stripped him naked and nailed him to a cross to shame and disgrace him, his mother who's there at the foot of the cross and a handful of godly ladies and another disciple. You need to consider that. That's what you need to look unto. That's what Jesus did. Listen to me. And that's what he did for you, my friend. You understand? The perfect sinless Son of God stood in the way of the wrath of judgment of God and took upon himself, the Bible says, our punishment. With his stripes we are healed, the Bible says. He bore the chastisement of our peace. If you're a child of God this morning, a Christian, that's what he did for you. That's what you need to look unto. Let's not get on this thing about, oh yeah, well, I'm saved. Oh, excuse me. No, I'm a child of God. I have a Savior who loved me so much, he gave his life for me, dipped his soul into death, was willing to suffer the horrors of the cross of Calvary, and 3 days and 3 nights later, punch a hole through death, stone rolled away, not for him to come up, but to show you it was empty, and rose from the dead. That's what he did for us, ladies and gentlemen. Looking unto Jesus. Consider him. Question now. If you're a child of God this morning, how much did you even think about salvation this way? Your salvation. See, most Christians think about when they got saved, and that's good. Because you should have the event of your salvation. That time you remember someone explained to you from the Bible what salvation was. And you trusted Christ and got saved. I led a young man to Christ yesterday who was certain that he was saved because he knew God. And I said, no, young man, is that your testimony? Yes. I said, that's not the testimony of salvation. Took the scripture, explained it to me, trusted Christ and got saved. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You understand, dear friend, we come to the place where we do what Hebrews says. We neglect so great salvation. Yeah, we should remember, when we think of our salvation, we should remember the event of our salvation. Not how you felt, but that time you simply trusted Christ and got saved. That should stick out in our minds, right? True? And now, wait a minute. But also, we should never forget why we even get to have this event. Why it even comes to us. Why it is all we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to our own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The John 3:16 of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53:6. That's what he did for us. See, that's what we need to be keep looking unto. Stare at, fix the gaze on the fact that he loved you that much. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You make it personal. That's how you got saved. You received Christ as your Savior. And then what now? We start to run this race that he has for us, and it's got the obstacles in the course. There's stuff. And if we're not careful, we'll stop running our race, not because we can't, because I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, but because we take our eyes off the one who gave us our salvation to begin with. He's the reason we're even in the race. He's the reason there is even a race. He's the purpose for the race. He's the person of the race. He's the process of the race. He's the plan of the race. Didn't know I had any P's, did you? Pretty good. And the truth of the matter is, it's all in there because of him, all because of Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the one who started it all, the finisher, the one who's going to complete it all, of our faith, looking unto Jesus. No, that's what that means. But it also means this. Now listen to me. It also means looking unto Jesus means to look and see what he is to me right now. Don't we sing it? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he ain't ever there. Well, that's a modern version. Just the time I need him, he's always near. My Sunday school class this morning, we're talking about the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were willing to go to the fire for their testimony and the Lord. But you know what happened, don't you? Daniel chapter 3, they stood up to the king. When the king came and had them chucked into that burning fiery furnace, the guys who carried them there were just they were killed by the blast of the heat of the furnace. But those three Hebrew young men fell down in that fire and burnt to death. Remember that? The only thing that burned on those men were the ropes that tied them. And then the king looks in the fire and says, wait a minute, didn't we throw three guys in there? I see four. And the likeness is the fourth. It's like the likeness of the Son of God, a heathen Babylonian king who didn't even know who God was but knew Jesus was in the fire with those guys. That's right. And he's here for you, isn't he? All come all ye that are laboring heavy laden, and I will give you rest, said Jesus. Huh? And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Looking unto Jesus means you don't even have, not only do you look back at what he's meant to you, right now, today, amen. Right now, today, sufficient for you. I'm going to keep telling you, I'm going to beat this drum till I break it. Yeah, it was Jesus who put gas in your car when it was $3 a gallon. Are you with me? Are you with me? It was Jesus who put food on your table when it wasn't as costly as it is now, when you had to go out and take out a loan to buy a head of lettuce. Yeah, it was Jesus who was taking care of you all along now, and it's Jesus who's still taking care of you, right? He's still there for you. Yes, he is. And she sang about it this morning. My God has been faithful to me. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, you have to understand inflation is 9.1%. It's more than 40 years in our country, and I don't know what this is. And then the president's over there begging these Saudis for oil. And then there's the thing with this happening. And the thing with the thing. You know why you're not in the race? Because you keep looking at whatever's going on around you, and that's got you fixed in your stare and your gaze and what you're looking at, and you're watching the stock market go, what? All the way down to the bottom. And we're all worried about this stuff and that stuff. You say, well, doesn't that concern you, Pastor Johnson? No, I don't have anything in the stock market. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, I can see stuff too. And now they're saying there's another variant strain around. And before you know it, we're all going to be wearing diving helmets again. Unless you get a 14th shot. And last time I checked it, the Bible says he was set down at the right hand of God. You know why he's sitting and not standing right now? Because his part's finished as far as what he was going to do here. Sitting is a place of honor and respect. The right hand of the Father, that makes him equal to God because Jesus is God. He's God the Son. But when Stephen was martyred, what happened? Jesus stood up and said, one of my boys is coming home. He's that present for us. You hear me? Looking unto Jesus. Now, here's the deal. If you don't have an effectual walk with God and something real in your Christian life, then he's just up there at the right hand of God for you. My phone was ringing and dinging through the night last night. And I finally got to sleep about 1 o'clock, 1:30 this morning, something like that. And I lay there in the dark with a fan blowing on me. And realize that he comes in the darkest hours of our life sometimes. But he is there. No, I haven't seen him. Oh, but I know he's real. He's real. He's real. Oh, I know he's real. You can't run your race if you get your eyes off the fact that he's there for you now. Right now, he's there for you today. He's there for you when you leave church and go out there and get in your car and realize that belt buckle's turned into a branding iron. You're going to go out there today. You're going to go home, pull a potato out of the ground. It's already baked. All you got to do is put butter on. It's ready to go. That's you. Those chickens you fed crushed ice to so they don't deliver hard-boiled eggs, they'll be out there waiting for you to come and show up. Yeah, it's hot. It's hot and ready. Pastor Johnson, okay, one more time. Are you new? Did you just move here yesterday? If you've been here for at least one season, you know what it is in Reading, folks. I mean, honestly. But again, we're born in the dispensation of air conditioning. Thanks be unto God. The truth is, but he's there. He is there. I said he is there. He's right there. And you call his name, and he's there for you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Looking unto Jesus, what he has been to you, what he is to you right now. Probably not hard to figure out what point three is, right? How much he's failed you and disappointed. No, that's not somebody else's sermon this morning. No, I'll tell you what it is. Looking unto Jesus means you see what he's going to be. Because see, he was here and he left, but he is coming back. Acts chapter 1, that day when Jesus got all of his disciples together, all that was left, and he's standing there with him, and while he gives them that commission, go in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, the great commission of missions, while he's telling them that, the Bible said they stood there and he just ascended back to heaven right in front of them. And you would have done the same thing. And the Bible said the clouds received him out of sight. It wasn't those puffy things. It was the angelic host. He's coming home. And they just stood there. If you ever do any street preaching, the best way to get a crowd street preaching is you get on a street corner with two or three guys and you do this. Whoa, people can't resist. They'll just start looking. And then you'll tell one of the guys, okay, you got 10 seconds, go. And God loves you. And then they're gone. It works in any city. I don't care where you are. Just stand there. And that's what they're doing. He went up. You know what happened? An angel had to come and say, why are you standing here gazing up? This same Jesus whom ye have seen go shall come in like manner. Now we know the return of Christ when he comes back is in two phases. When he comes for his own, we caught up, we meet him in the air, we go to heaven. Then Jesus is going to come back not too long after that, and he's going to put his foot down on this earth. And he's not going to go to the United Nations and ask for a resolution to give him permission to do it. He's not going to stop by the White House and ask him because he'll be asleep. He's not going to go to the governor's mansion because he doesn't know who he is. Jesus, look at me. Hey, listen to me. Jesus, I was preaching this week, and I made a crack about Judas Iscariot, who was the treasurer of the church carrying the bag. And I said, no, he was not carrying Nancy Pelosi. Two women got mad at me. I got up and walked out. Unbelievable. People are so sensitive. But the truth is, it's not going to come. I just did it again here. Please don't move. Please. Our ushers will shoot you. But here's the thing. We know he's going to come back and he's going to set his foot down on this earth. Jesus Christ will return, King of kings, Lord of lords, and establish his rule and reign by that book on this earth. Yeah, but Pastor, that's not how it is now. Yeah, but that's not how it's always going to be either. These little punks going around shaking their fist in God's face, defying him about life and innocency and defying him about his rules of regulation. It is God who decided you're going to be a man when you're in your mother's womb. It was God who decided you're going to be a woman in your mother's womb. That's God's work. Don't mess with that. That's God's work. See, they got this idea that somehow or another, just because they can pass a law that makes it so, it doesn't make it so. And you can talk all you want to. How many times do we have to learn from history? People, these little pusillanimous little punks who get themselves in a position of power and decide they're going to decide this and right and wrong and good and bad and good and evil and all that. They do all they want to do, and those kingdoms have fallen. Those empires have crumbled. Those nations have gone to the pages of history. And people go now and look at the crumbs of what's left of those places. The old stones that are left stacking there, but the empires are gone. You know why? Because the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Looking unto Jesus, that's what he's going to do. He's going to come back and straighten this whole thing out. It's an old illustration, but it's a good one. Man was watching a bunch of kids playing Little League Baseball, and he kind of caught his attention, but then he watched a minute. So he stopped and he stood there and he watched. It seemed like every kid who got up either hit a home run or got on base and the next kid hit a home run. And he was watching them just rotating around the bases. I mean, and he was counting the runs. The man, he thought, this is unbelievable. What amazed him was this little kid playing third base. Hey, come on, batter, batter. Hey, batter, hey, batter. Come on, batter, batter. Here we go, batter, batter. Come on, pitcher. Here we go, batter, batter. And this boy never lost his encouragement, and his team was getting slaughtered. So he got more caught up by the kid and his enthusiasm than all the runs that were scored. And after it was over and the inning finally ended, the kid walked by and he goes, hey, son, why are you so excited when you're down 31 to nothing? And the kid says, we ain't even got up to bat yet. Yeah. Yeah, they're scoring runs right now, but we ain't even got up to bat yet. Huh? Looking unto Jesus, this is what he's going to do. Hey, hey, you better get on the winning side of this thing. Would you please? Stop, hey, Christian, stop selling out, compromising, joining the world, smacking the world, shacking up, living in sin, going on acting like the world, talking like the world, doing what the world does, living in the sin of the world. Just because everybody else does it doesn't make it right. Hey, let's get something straight. When it's all over, said, and done, God is still in control. He is still on the throne. He is still the big G God, and ain't no other gods but him. Hey, listen to me. You can't run your race running around with your head down all the time. Well, there's not a lot of us left, Pastor Jones. First of all, there are more people out there with sense than we realize. I hope they speak their peace pretty quick here, but I don't mean in the service either, by the way. I mean when you vote. But the truth is, see, there's a door of grace and mercy that's open right now. Why? For people to come and get saved. That door is open. Hey, that door is open right now. If you've never simply trusted Christ and settled it, that door is open. I cannot promise you it will always be open, but it is right now. And there's grace and mercy because God is hoping more Christians will start acting like salt and light and make a difference in where they live, how they live, and what they do. Hey, you can't run your race looking down all the time. Well, this happened now. What are we going to do? Get off the ambulance. You got any cheese with all that whining? Come on now, back up. Looking unto Jesus. It's all right. We're winning. And when it's over, he's going to win. One more illustration will turn you loose. So Boxer's getting into his contest, boxing contest. He goes out there and his trainer, his corner man, tells him, now look, you can take this guy, don't worry about it. Bing! The bell rings, he goes out there, and his opponent just proceeds to beat him to a pulp. He barely makes it to the bell. He goes back and he sits down. And his corner man says, don't worry, you got him. You got him. Just keep fighting, you got him. The guy goes, okay. And he goes, bing, goes back out there. Another round, he gets his brains beat out. barely makes it to the bell, goes over and sits down again. Corner man rubs all the blood off of him, puts a little ice on his head, says, "Don't worry, you got him, you got him, you got him. He's not even laid a glove on you, don't worry about it." And the man looked up and took his gloves and held his manager to his face and he goes, "Then would you look at the referee, because somebody's beating my brains out there. Man, what in the world's going on?" Yeah, that's what we tell. Like, "Well, I'll tell you what, you know, they tell us we can't do the stuff with the thing and the fub and the thing." No, I'm sorry, people, I'm sorry. Bible still works, God's still on the throne. I'm looking unto Jesus. He's going to have the last word. And not only in life, in society, in this world, he's going to have the last word in your life. So you can cut your own path and do your own thing. He gets the last word on this thing. You got it? So let's just keep looking unto Jesus. Whew, man, has he been good to us? Oh my, is he been good to us? Yes, he has. And oh boy, he's about to make it really good. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.